Good morning. Today's daf in Tanis is daf Yud Gimel. We're on Yud Beis Amud Beis. We're at the Mishnah. We thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf will be learned with Zeich and Ishmas, Los Lupin Zaltzman. Let's take a quick look back at the previous Mishnah. We turn back to daf Yud Amud Aleph, and we're going to now go through the progression of fasts. Lack of rain in Eretz Yisrael is a calamity, it's a tragedy. The rain is necessary for the growth of crops. It's been one of the main topics of our Masechta. It's been pretty much the topic of our Masechta. And the Torah tells us that in the time Beit Sarah, at the time of calamity, we need to cry to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we need to blow in the trumpets, and we need to scream, and we need to examine ourselves, and we need to be mefashvish b'masav. So the Mishnah, if you look at the previous Mishnah, so the Mishnah told us the dates on the calendar where, at which point in time we don't see rain, so it's time to start panicking. Right? It's never good to panic, but in this regard, it's good. We need to respond. So the Mishnah says in the previous Mishnah, if the rain doesn't come down by the 17th day of Tammuz, the previous Mishnah told us, so then individuals start fasting. So these fasts are important, obviously, but in other words, we're not going to count this because they're not public fasts, meaning this is not for everybody, this is just for individuals. You remember the Gemara we learned earlier, the individuals are a description of the Chachamim, the rabbis. So they have an obligation to first take it upon themselves to fast. So that's the Gimel Rishonis. But we're not going to call these Gimel. We'll just leave it as it is. So Ochem Mishosnin Mishach Hashechem Matar Mamlach Vrechitza V'sichem V'nis L'Sandal Uvitash Mishamita. Now just these fasts for the Yechidim, just a fast. It's an abstention from food. It's no other Inuyim involved. Now Igir Rosh Chodesh Kislev Lo Yardu Gshamim. If the first day of Kislev rolls around and it's the rain hasn't come yet. Bazin goes in Sholosh Taniyos Salat Sibor. So now there's the decree of three fasts. Ochlim v'shosim mishecha shecha. So you eat and you drink that night. Umutarim b'malacha v'rechitza v'sicha v'nilas v'san v'tash mishamita. And all inuyim are acceptable, are permitted. And so therefore, again, so these first three fasts are instituted, but it's just not eating, and it's not eating during the day. Okay? Adkan. That's the first three fasts. That's what so far what we've learned about in the previous Mishnah. Okay, this is the next Mishnah we're about to start right now. We're on Yud Beis Amud Beis. We're starting at the Mishnah. And this is now a continuation, obviously, from the previous Mishnah. The Mishnah over here writes, Avru velo, Elu velo nanu. So these fasts have come and gone. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu has not responded yet to our petitions. So now an additional three fasts. So if you're counting, so this is now going to be fasts 4, 5, and 6. Meaning, and remember, the way the fasts work is that's Monday, Thursday, Monday. So the first three fasts are Monday, Thursday, Monday. Again, we're not counting the Yechidim, the fast of the Yechidim. So in terms of our numbering, so the first three fasts mentioned the previous Mishnah, that is Monday, Thursday, Monday. Now the Mishnah over here is describing another three fasts, which is going to be Monday, Thursday, Monday. So it goes in Gimel Tani Osecheros Alatibur, Ochlim Vishos Mi Ba'od Yom. So you eat and drink that night. The Asurim Ben Malacha, I'm sorry, Ochlim Vishos Mi Ba'od Yom, the Asurim Ben Malacha over Chitza V'sicha V'nil Sasandal over Tashmish Hamita. So the Mishnah tells us that it is prohibited on these fast days it's prohibited on these fast days to do work, to bathe, to anoint with oil, to wear leather shoes, and in marital relations. Meaning all the inuyim are going to be prohibited during these second three fast days. But no alas merchatzos, and we lock up the bathhouse. Which the Gemara later on is going to point out that seems to be a little bit redundant. If there's an Isra Rechitza, so why is there a need to lock up the bathhouses? We're going to talk about that later on. Monday, right?
There'll be one Thursday they don't fast.
Right, correct. Meaning, right, it'll, right, there'll be a break. Right, they didn't want to start a fast day on Thursday, remember, because of the markets. It'll really disrupt the market and the market prices. So, Avru Elav Alonanu. Okay, so now, if these fasts have come and gone, and unfortunately, Kadosh Baruch Hu hasn't responded, so Bezin Gozrin Aleim Od Sheva. another 7 fast days. So we have 3 plus 3 plus 7, making a total of 13. The Mishnah says, Shehen Yugimel Tanya Salat Tzibur, a total of 13. Hare Eli Yisrael Salat Rishona, Shebe Eli Masrim Benoel Nesachaniyos. Now, in these fast days, meaning the subsequent 7 fast days, so over here, what is added in these fast days? So Hasra is a blowing of the shofar, and Noel Nesachaniyos and the locking up of the markets. Now, on Monday, meaning when Monday rolls around, the chaniyos, the stores were closed, but as it gets closer to the evening and people need to work on breakfast, so the markets are allowed to open late in the evening, early in the evening, if you will. And on Thursday, so the markets open even earlier because, remember, not only is there breakfast to worry about, but there's also Shabbos as well. Mimnei Kavra Shabbos. Now, if these fasts have come and gone, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu has not responded, so now we have fasted as a community 13 consecutive fasts. Consecutive, as Ben points out, there are going to be small breaks in the proceedings. And remember, the fasts are only going to be on Mondays and Thursdays. So it's broken. The fasts are broken up, but 13 fasts for the season so far. So the Mishnah says that we minimize the amount of business that we do, bebinyan, the amount of construction, unetia, how much planting we do, be'erusin of benisuin, no engagements, engagements meaning erusin, right, first stage of marriage, nisuin, no marriages, v'sheila shalom enam l'chavero, right, people saying hello to each other should be curtailed, kivnei adam and azufa l'makom. How do we treat ourselves? As if we are reprimanded. We're censored by Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Kadosh Baruch Hu basically excommunicated us. Hayechidim chozim asanim achi yitzei Nisan. And now we go back to the Yechidim. Yechidim fast up until Nisan comes around. Yafsa Nisan v'yardu gshamim. Siman klala. And if Nisan rolls around, and then and only then it rains after Nisan has come, that's not good, that's bad. She'enemar alok sir chitim hayom. Because by Nisan we should be harvesting already. It shouldn't be raining. So raining after Nisan is totally the wrong time for it to rain. And so therefore we went through a year of Kalala. Meaning that's obviously not, it's bad.
So it takes 10 weeks from Kislev to Nisan?
It takes, no. In other words, no, it doesn't take 10 weeks. From Nisan, it takes longer. But, in other words, there's only so many fasts that you impose on the community. Right. Add another Adar. Right. I mean, if it's right,
avoid the curse.
Correct. Okay. If they can, if it's it's not always possible to do that. Okay. That's all right. So good. So that's the Mishnah. It's right now, obviously, not an uplifting Mishnah, but that's the Mishnah. The Mishnah over here is describing now what happens if the first three aren't answered, the second three aren't answered, a subsequent 7 fasts that are legislated by the Chachamim, and then after that, it's just hope. And then, right, and correct. And on top of that, the preliminary fast done by the Yechidim, which are not counted, right, agreed. And then afterwards, there's also the post 13, which are done by Yechidim, which also, but in other words, when we count 13, we're talking about 13 Tanit Sibur, right, community fasts that are legislated. Right, well, that was Shmuel's statement that we saw already twice in the Masechta, is that in Chutz La'aretz there's no Tanit Sibur, right? There's no Tanit Sibur that's legislated. So Rashi's explanation is because there's no need for rain in Bavel, not like in Eretz Yisrael. Right, correct. For other calamities, right, agreed. Meaning it's, right, if there were other calamities, maybe, I don't know. So the Gemara statement is very black and white. Just simply no... Right, no Tanit Sibur outside of Tisha B'Av. Okay.
Listen, if people in Israel and people in Bavel or outside and Chutz La'aretz
dwelling. Yeah, I made the observation. I don't know it's a good question. I made the observation also earlier, meaning that it sounds like from Shmuel's statement, it sounds like even if Eretz Yisrael needs rain, and even if Eretz Yisrael is having a Tanit Sibur, it sounds like the way the Gemara is being presented is that in Bavel they wouldn't institute it. It would only be limited to Eretz Yisrael, but not outside Eretz Yisrael. I don't know. It's right. It doesn't speak to the idea of solidarity, which the Gemara has spoken about very strongly, about how you need to be part of the tzibur and, right, correct. But also keep in mind, I mean, we live in a very connected society, meaning for us, Eretz Yisrael is but a, you know, it's... I'm saying in the past, right, they were really... Eretz Yisrael and Bavel were, you know, there was communication, but they were disconnected. You know, it wasn't... If something's happening in Eretz Yisrael, you don't know about it in Bavel, right? I'll give you a simple example. The Churban Beis HaMikdash, right? Destruction of the temple. Wasn't learned in Bavel until months afterwards, right? We learned that early in the Masechta, meaning it just from a practical standpoint, there wasn't access and communication like there is today. It wasn't even close.
If it rained in one city in Israel and not the other, what would they do?
Right. How far-reaching do these fasts go? Right, that's a fair question. I don't know. I don't know the answer. Okay. Bishlama kulu isbehu tanug. Rechitza v'sich v'tash m'shamita. Look, the Gemara says, here's what I do understand. I understand that you're getting now, it's getting on in the season and there's no rain coming in. We want to intensify the fasts. So good, I get it. And I get it that for the first three, you're allowed to enjoy life, just not eat and drink. Meaning, but all the other pleasures, a person's allowed to engage in. I get that as well. What I don't understand, says the Gemara, is that as the fasts become more intensified, and as now there is a prohibition of inui, but not working, meaning basically what's being imposed upon us? A vacation. You can't go to work. Okay, generally speaking, people look forward to vacation. Now, granted, this is not the most exciting vacation because vacation also requires you to fast and not bathe. And understood, but in other words, why would the Chachamim legislate not going to work? That's strange. And the Gemara says, the Gemara spells out this question, Bishlam kol yisbuhu tanuk, rechitza sichat hashmash amita, ava melechet sarhu, but going to work... Okay, I know the attitude is we should love going to work, and it's a good attitude. It's a great attitude. But when all said and done, it's work. I mean, it's called work for a reason. We're not supposed to love it. In other words, we work because that's what we need to do. So, and the Gemara over here speaks. I mean, I'm speaking nicely. The Gemara says it's painful. Translate the Gemara's words literally. It's painful to go to work. So why would the Chachamim legislate? Oh, don't go to work. So Amar Rav Chista, Amar Rav Yirmi, Abar Abba, Amar Kra. So the Gemara is going to give an answer. Now it's interesting. The answer over here is going to be a drasha, meaning the Gemara is not going to present a logical premise in terms of why we don't go to work. The Gemara just simply provides a drasha in terms of it's not the right time to go to work. So Amar Kra Kishu Tzom Keru Atzara Isfu Zekenim. So the pasuk in Yoel says, remember Yoel was with the locusts, was with the famines. It was the end of a 7-year famine being described in Sefer Yoel. So call out a fast day. Kirat Seres. Work stoppage. Meaning that's the pasuk in Yoel. So Isvah Zekenim. So Atzeres. Now over here the Gemara understands the word Atzeres. Not like I translate. I translate it as work stoppage. The Gemara says no. It's going to come out to be the same thing. But the Gemara understands the word Atzeres over here literally. Literally meaning like Shmini Atzeres. Like Shavuos, meaning the end of a Yontif. Ma'atzeres asur b'asiyas malacha, aftanis asur b'asiyas malacha. So just like Atzeres, on Shavuos you're not allowed to work, just like on Shmini Atzeres you're not allowed to work, so too, when it's Kirud Tzom, when we're legislating a fast day, you also have to stop working. So mi'i ma'atzeres mi'orta, aftanis nami mi'orta. So now the Gemara asks a very simple question. Well, you know on Shavuos, when do you have to stop working on Shavuos? The night prior. So here too, same thing. I'm Rabbi Zera, Lididim, Mefarsh, Lemine, Derav, Yirmi, Abba, Abba, Amakra, Isvu, Zekenim. So the Gemara says no. Because here, yes, the Torah describes the fast days as an Atzeres, but it also says in the Pasuk in Yoel, Isvu, Zekenim, and you need to gather the elders. So, Da'asifa, Zekenim, I'm sorry, Dumi, Da'asifa, Zekenim, Asifa, Zekenim, Bayom, Aftom, Nami, Bayom, and the Asifa, Zekenim only occurs during the daytime. So too, the work stoppage only is during the daytime, not at night. Okay, so basically, the question is, how come the Chachamim are legislating work stoppage on a fast day? Answer, the Pasuk in Yoel. The Pasuk in Yoel says that when you declare it to be a fast, so it has to be a stoppage of work. Okay, it is a little bit difficult to understand. I'm going to raise a problem I don't have an answer for, and that is, when is the work stoppage legislated? only on the second three fast days, meaning the first three fast days, the ones that are mentioned in the on the Mishnah on Daf Yud. So there,
the seventh day, right?
Huh?
The seven.
You're right. Vishos Mebiyav Asurim BeMalacha.
3, 3, and 7.
Ochlin, right? 3, 3, and 7. Ochlin Vishos Mebiyom VeAsno. What do you mean? The second three Asurim BeMalacha. Right? The Mishnah says you're not allowed to do work on the second three. Right? And the Mishnah on Daf Yud mentions that you are allowed to do work. So my question is, and it's a simple question, and I'm sure there's an answer, I just don't have it. There's got to be. Is that why, in other words, if not doing work is a function of Kirut Tzom, which is the Pasuk in Yoel, so then why in the first three are you allowed to do Malacha? I'm sure there's an answer. Cannot be that I just thought of that on my own, but I don't have it. I don't have an answer. So anyway, so something to think about, something for me to think about. So good. The Ema Mitihara. So the Gemara says, well, if all this, if the work stoppage is a function of the Asifa Zikanim, so then the Gemara says, so then let's stop working on the afternoon. Because generally speaking, the Zikanim get together around midday. So the Gemara says, "Amar Shisha Breid Ravidi Misai Lele Ravuna Damar Mitzafer Kenufya." So the Gemara says, "Well, you're wrong." Meaning the assumption, the question is built on assumption. The assumption's wrong. The Zikanim don't get together at midday; they get together in the morning. Hey Chiyavid. Now the Gemara over here goes over the schedule. Meaning here's what a fast day is going to look like. A Tanit Sibur. Again, we're not talking about our fast days. We're talking about the fast days that were imposed in Eretz Yisrael. Over the lack of rain. Here's what it's going to look like. So what do we do from morning until midday? An auditing. We audit. Everybody. And what are we auditing? Meaning what's the right? The Gemara's language is, we investigate mili demasa, matters of the city. Okay? And Rashi explains what that means is, basically, we look if there's any corruption. Meaning, again, the only reason why it's not raining is because of our actions. Right? It's the Gemara says, the Gemara assumes that that's Pashut. So basically, now we have to look and we have to try to investigate and see if what kind of corruption we could find and take away. In other words, we basically, it's like a hearing, if you will. Okay? And so that's the first half of the day. And then Mikan ve'elech, Riva diyomakarim, b'sifra v'avtara, so Mikan ve'elech, be'inan rachamin. And then now with the second half of the day of a fast day, what are we doing? So we break the afternoon into two parts. The first half of the afternoon, so we're reading Vayicha Moshe, and we're saying the Haftorah. Okay? Like we do on a fast day. It is interesting, the Gemara over here dedicates half of the afternoon for that. I mean, for us laning in Haftorah, it's, 20 minutes. So, I'm being generous. The Gemara over here dedicates half the afternoon for the laning and for the Haftorah. Shenemar v'yikuma. And then the second half of the afternoon, so what do? We ask for Rachmanis. So Shenemar v'yikuma alamdam v'yikar b'sefer Torah Hashem Elokeihem revias hayom. The Pasuk in Nechemia over here describes that for a quarter of the day they're reading from the Torah, and revias misvadu mishachem l'Hashem Elokeichem, and then for this another quarter of the day, so we would bow down, we would supplicate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so the Pasuk in Nechemia pretty much spells out a quarter of the day is leaning from the Torah and Haftorah, and a quarter of the day is asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for supplication, for petitioning. Okay, and then two quarters equals a half. So that's half the day, and the other half of the day is the auditing. So the Gemara says, "Epoch ana." We're on the top of Yigim Amid Aleph. The Gemara just simply wonders. The Pasuk in Nechemiah does not tell us when we should be reading the Torah and when we should be crying out to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Why don't we do that in the morning, and then why don't we do the audit in the afternoon? So the Gemara says, "Well, Sagadatcha Dechsev VeElai Yasfu Kol Chere BeDivrei Elokei Yisrael Amal HaGola." So the Gemara says, no, because if you look in Sefer Ezra, so you're going to see that first thing we do is we congregate, and we see if we can find any corruption, and then afterwards, and in the afternoon, we get up from our fasts, from over here, meaning not that we stop fasting, but we are in the middle of fasting, and Ephrasa Kapai Lashem. and we hold our palms up to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and as we learned earlier, that's an expression for davening. So in other words, the pasuk in Ezra seems to clearly indicate that the supplication and the tefillah happens in the afternoon, not in the morning, on a fast day. Okay, Amar Rafram Bar Papa Amar Rav Chisda. Okay, that ends the first section of today's daf. So basically, an analysis of our Mishnah. The question on the table we dealt with is, why is there an Isser Malacha? If it's a fast day and we want to minimize the tanug, minimize the pleasure, so we shouldn't take a vacation from work, we should specifically go to work? And the answer is, so says the Navi. The Navi says that when there's a call out for a fast day, so we don't go to work. Okay, that's the Pasuk in Yoel. And then we just went over the schedule of what the Tanit Tzibur would look like. First half of the day, from the morning until midday, is an auditing, a community auditing, to see if we can weed out as much corruption as we can. And then the second half of the day is broken up into two segments. First segment is laning and haftarah, and the second segment is davening to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ad Khan, that's the first part of today's daf. And now we move on to the second part of today's daf, and that is rechitza, bathing. Bathing on a fast day is prohibited. And we're talking about now the second series of three. Second series of three, one is not allowed to bathe. Now we're going to be speaking about really two halachas side by side. We're going to have really two parallel discussions over the course of today's daf, the remainder of today's daf. And that is basically, what issur rechitza is there during a fast day? And what issur rechitza is there during avelos? Right? We also know that in addition to a fast day, one is not allowed to bathe. Avelos also, one is not allowed to bathe. And we're going to discuss perhaps the discrepancy between the two. And furthermore, we're also going to speak about today where Tisha B'Av falls in. Meaning, is Tisha B'Av more of a fast day, or is Tisha B'Av more like Avelos? And we'll see all that over the course of the remainder of today's daf. Amar Rafam Bar Papa Amar Rav Chisda. So the entire day starts today with a statement made in the name of Rav Chisda. Kol shekhu mishum evel kagon tisha b'av ve'evel aser be'mecham em mitzonen. If the theme behind the day is avelus, so for example tisha b'av, or for example avelus, right? Meaning if it's a mournful day, so then all bathing is prohibited, hot water and cold water. But if the motif of the day is just don't indulge in pleasure, kegon tanit sibor, like a tanit sibor, becham and aser betzonin mutter. So then, can bathe in hot water, but you can bathe in cold water. Okay, this is the premise of Rav Chisda. So half of the daf today, meaning basically the first half of our the entirety of today's the first amud, is dedicated to the statement of Rav Chisda. So again, according to Rav Chisda, if the motif of the day is avelus, so no bathing is permitted, not hot water, not cold water. If the motif of the day is just simply not to engage in pleasure, meaning like a public fast day, like a Tanit Sibur, hot water is prohibited, but bathing in cold water would be permitted. Okay, and now let's see if we could defend or attack this position of Rav Chisda. I'm Rav Idi Barav and Afan Nami Tanina. So Rav Idi Barav says, I'd like to bring a support for this position, Rav Chisda, based on the Mishnah that we started today's daf with. The Mishnah says, no alas merchatzos, that you can lock up the bathhouses. So Amrli Abaye v'ibitzon in asos sochen asanaros mibayle. So Abaye kind of says, like, that's not a proof. Meaning lock up the bathhouses. Now, the bathhouses back then were hot water. Right, that was the whole idea behind a bathhouse. Right, remember indoor plumbing? No. So if you wanted to take a bath, so you had to go to the local bathhouse. And so basically, they had homes dedicated to heating up water so that people could bathe in it. Okay, those are the good old days. I kind of like the indoor plumbing, but okay, neither here nor there. Anyway, why the Rav Ibi Baravin says, why does the Mishnah say lock up the bathhouses? Because hot water is usur. But it sounds like, again, our Mishnah is obviously talking about Tanit Sibur, sounds like cold water would be mutter. To which Abaye says, really? Like, what did you want the Mishnah to say? Cold water is mutter. Where am I going to find cold water? The local spring. Did you really want the Mishnah to say we're going to dam up the local spring on a fast day? Like, did you really expect the Mishnah to do that? So I'm sorry, Mibayla Lamisne? Is that what you wanted the Mishnah to say? So in other words, the diuk in the Mishnah is not such an exceptional diuk. Because what do you really expect the Mishnah to say at that point in time? So Amar Rav Shisha Bar Davidi Abba. The Rav Idi Abba Hachika Kashalei. So Rav Shisha, son of Rav Idi Bar Abaye, says, look. Let me explain to you what my father's proof was. Let me help my father out in this case. So Mechti Tananas Asa Berchitza. Look, our Mishnah already established that during the second three sets of fasts, you're not allowed to bathe. The Mishnah says that. Asa Berchitza. And then the Mishnah says, and you lock up the bathhouses. No, that's a Merchasa Zlamali. That's redundant. The redundancy of the Mishnah is there to make a point, and the point is, hot water is prohibited. But cold water would be permitted. Good. That was the diuk of Rav Idi. That's how Rav Idi saw from our Mishnah a proof to Rav Chisda that on a public fast day, one can bathe in cold water. Lema Misayele. Look at the following Mishnah. This Mishnah would be a proof. You have a mitzvah to tov on the mikvah. You'll go in the mikvah, says a braisa, on Tisha B'Av, on Yom Kippur. Now, of course, we know on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to bathe. But going to the mikvah is a mitzvah. And Rashi points out, Tvila Bizmana, going to the mikvah at the right time, meaning if a woman is at the end of her Nida period, if a woman is at the end of her Yoledis period, so then she goes to the mikvah, and according to some opinions in the Gemara, going at the right time is a mitzvah. So the mitzvah of going to the mikvah is going to override the prohibitions of bathing on Tisha B'Av and on Yom Kippur. So according to the Braisa, you'll do that. She'll do that. Now, Bimai. Now, Ilem Abacham and Tvila Abacham and Miika. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about hot water. Hot water. What mikvah is hot? There's no hot water in a mikvah. Now, I know I also smile because all of our mikvahs are heated. So that's, you know, that's a modern innovation, right? In the good old days, your mikvahs were just simply a pool of collected water. It wasn't, it was not, you didn't go in there for your bath. You went there for purposes of tahara. And the Gemara also makes a halachic point, shu'uvim ninu, meaning the only way you're going to have a hot mikvah is if you take the water, put in a pot, heat it up, and then pour it into the bath. That's mayim shu'uvim, that's drawn water. That disqualifies a mikvah. So it can't be, the mikvah can't be hot water. Allah b'tzonein. So the heter over here is to obviously go in cold water. The mikvah was cold. And v'chai v'tfilos in nishachrin alo. And now we can make a very simple diuk. Who is allowed to go into cold water on Tisha B'Av and on Yom Kippur? Only chai v'tfilos, only someone who's obligated to tov on the mikvah. For the rest of us who are not obligated, we can bathe even in cold water. And so what comes out now over here is that on Tisha B'Av and on Yom Kippur, so you can't bathe in cold water. Now, Tisha B'Av, as we pointed out, that's an Avelos Halacha. So, fine. But Yom Kippur, you can bathe even in cold water. So that's what would come out now. And according to Rav Chisda, you are allowed to bathe in cold water. So, Amar Rav Chana Bar Kitina, L'Nitzucha El Ha Mitzverya. So the Gemara deflects. And the Gemara says, well, maybe over there we are talking about hot mikvah. What hot mikvah are we talking about? Tveria. The hot springs in Tveria, which can serve as a mikvah and are also hot. Maybe that's what the Bryce is talking about. So the Gemara says, okay, maybe, but let's read on in the Bryce. Amr Abi Chanin is Gana Kohanim. Kedaihu Beis Elokeinu La'abed Alav Tfila Pamachas Bishana. Rabbi Chanin is Gana Kohanim. Remember him from the first parak of Pesachim. He says, look, let's skip the mikvah. Meaning, I know the woman is obligated to go to the mikvah, but she'll postpone it for a day. Don't go on Tisha B'Av. Don't go on Yom Kippur. Go the next day. Look, Kedaihu Beis Elokeinu. Meaning, on Tisha B'Av, we're observing the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So, just skip a day. Don't go to the mikvah today. Do it tomorrow. The Beis HaMikdash is worth it. Let's just do away with tefillah b'mikvah. Now, think about it. What was Rabbi Chanina's Gana Kohanim considering? Doing away with the mikvah for one day. Doing away means no mikvah. Not hot water, not cold water. Now the Gemara says, now, Rav Chisda, if you're right, so what do you mean do away with the mikvah? If the prohibition is only limited to hot water, So then, can't you go into a cold mikvah? So I'm Rav Papa Basra de lo shchiach sonin. So Rav Papa, trying to defend Rav Chista, says, well, maybe we're talking specifically about a place where there is no, where it's only hot water mikvahs and it's not cold water mikvahs, and right? Back then that was slightly unusual, but fine. But we could still defend Rav Chista. Okay, so at this point in time, we have neither brought a tremendous support to Rav Chista, nor have we upset Rav Chista, and right now Rav Chista's position is still being defended. If it's an Avel, or if it's Tisha B'Av, so then you can't bathe at all. Not in hot water, not in cold water. If it's just Oneg, an abstention from pleasure, so then you can't bathe in hot water, but you can bathe in cold water. Again, that's Rav Chista's premise, and once again, we're on the attack. Tashma. Kish Amru, Asa B'Malacha Lo Amru Ela B'Yama V'Abalayla Motar. The prohibition of work is only during the daytime, but at night you're allowed to work. Ukish Amru, Asa B'Nila Sasanda Lo Amru Ela B'Ir, Ava B'Derech Motar. And when we're talking about putting on leather shoes, that's only when you're in the city. But if you're going on a long journey, and you can't walk barefoot. And back then, I mean, we have great shoes that don't require leather. But back then, if you want the good shoes, it had to be leather. So if you're traveling from one city to another, you could put on leather shoes. So while traveling, you can put on the leather shoes. But once you come to a stop, so then you take off the leather shoes. And we say rechitz is prohibited. That is only for your hands, feet, and face. Sorry. That's only for your whole body. But your hands, feet, and face, you're allowed to wash. And the same thing is true with somebody who's excommunicated, and the same thing is true regarding somebody who is in Avelis. Okay. So what comes out from this Braisa is that we have significantly limited the halachas of working, wearing leather shoes, and bathing. Meaning for working, only the prohibition is only during the day, not the night prior. For wearing leather shoes, it's only while stationary. But if you're traveling, you can put on the leather shoes while traveling. And for bathing, that's only your whole body. But if you want to wash your hands, feet, and face, that's fine. That's the Braisa. And the Braisa says the same thing is true with an Avel, regarding a mourner. Now, my lava kulu. Now, ostensibly, it's talking about everything we mentioned up above. And uvamai, askin an ilem abechamim. Now, are we talking about hot water? Can't be talking about hot water. Why? When it comes to an avel can not only not bathe in hot water, can't stick a finger into hot water. Meaning an avel cannot wash himself at all with hot water. So it must be that when we're talking about an avel, it means sonin, it means cold water. And so what comes out now is that the avel can't bathe in cold water. And ostensibly, not only can the avel not bathe in cold water, but also all the tanugim mentioned cannot be done in cold water. And if that's true, that's difficult for Rav Chista, because Rav Chista says that if it's mishum oneg, you can't bathe in hot water, but you're allowed to bathe in cold water. So the Gemara says, lo, 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 b'chamim. So the Gemara says, no, we're talking about hot water. And when we extend the halacha to someone excommunicated or someone who's an avelus, asha arakai, it's going on the other things mentioned. It's going on the isra malacha, it's going on the wearing of leather shoes, but it's not talking about bathing. Meaning when it comes to bathing, there will be a fundamental difference. Bathing for an avel cannot do at all with hot water, and neither with cold. For the tanit sibor, hot water is prohibited, cold water would be permitted. Tashma. So once again, an attempt to reject Rav Chista, the Gemara defended Rav Chista. Tashma, Damar Rabbi Abba, HaKohen, Mishum Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, Maiso Umesa Banav Shel Rav Yossi, Ben Rabbi Chanina. The sons, you'll see why I emphasize the plural, the sons of Rav Yossi Ben Rabbi Chanina died, V'rachatz Betzon in Kol Shiva, and he bathed in cold water. So bathing cold water, according to Rav Chista, you're not allowed, an avel is not allowed to bathe in cold water. So the Gemara says, "Hasam kishtachvu avelav hava." So the Gemara says, "Rachman al-Tzlan." It was what a tragedy. He lost his sons, and he was in avelus in succession. He went through a double avelus period. So detanya tachvu avelav zecher zeh. So if you're now sitting Shiva for a second consecutive week, so sitting Shiva for 1 week, right, obviously very challenging. But that's the halacha. So you go for a week without bathing, without a haircut, fine. But if you're now going through your second week of consecutive avelos, so at that point in time, the chachamim realized that's onerous, and so therefore certain heterim, certain leniencies. Hech b'tzaro make al b'tar. So if you're you can lighten your hair, so to say, meaning get a trim. Umechabes ksusa b'mayim. You can wash your clothing just with water, no detergent. Am Rav Chista b'tar v'lo b'mesparayim b'mayim v'lo b'neter v'lo b'chol. And Rav Chista says, yeah, there is a dispensation, but first of all, in terms of cutting your hair, use only a razor, right? Not, in other words, not scissors. Meaning, use a shinui. And when you're doing laundry, just water. Not any type of detergent. But this heter was given out for the person who is now sitting in his second week of avail, second consecutive week. And so, he can bathe in cold water. That's another heter that's extended to the person who is in successive avelos. But for that 1 week of avelos, no bathing, according to Rav Chista, not in hot water, not in cold water. Okay, Ad Kan. Okay, so, first half of today's daf, dedicated to Rav Chista. Rav Chista's halacha is that if it's avelos, like Tisha B'Av, like actual avelos, if the motif is mourning, no bathing, not hot water, not cold water. If the motif of the day is just simply an abstention from pleasure, like a Tanit Sibor, hot water is prohibited, cold water is permitted. Okay, proofs for Rav Chista, attacks on Rav Chista. Ultimately, Rav Chista's position has been defended. Okay, we'll talk about the halacha later on. Amar Rava, Avel Mutal Chotz Betzonin Kol Shiva. Rava disagrees, at least according to the first version of Rava. Rava says an Avel can bathe in cold water. Why? Look, it's no different than eating meat and drinking wine. We know that an Avel is allowed to eat meat and drink wine. In fact, when we get to Moed Katan, we'll talk about the consumption of wine for the Avel when he comes home from the funeral. Okay, and why? Meaning, why would that be? So Rashi over here writes because, well, we'll get to the wine in just a moment. The answer is going to be very simple. It eases the anxiety, right? It'll help. But meanwhile, Rashi over here says, "But what do you see? If an Avel can drink wine and eat meat, it means that he can enjoy some of the pleasures in life. So too, he can also bathe in cold water. Now, it happens. It's interesting. If that's the argument, so then why not simply bathe in hot water as well? But Rava, at least again, where this is Rava's position, it's not the one that's halachically held. But at least in explaining Rava, if he can drink wine and eat meat, he can bathe in cold water. Meisve, the Gemara challenges Rava's position. We're on the top of the Gemara Amud Beis. Ein bogeres rashal anavel asatzma bimei aval aviha. A bogeres, a young woman, cannot let herself go, cannot make herself unpresentable while she is in the avelos of her father. Now, not totally clear what that means. Rashi over here gives two explanations. Either while her father is sitting Shiva, or while she's sitting Shiva over the loss of her father. Either way, a bulgaris is given a special dispensation. Rashi explains. Let's spell this out. Basically, let's talk about the three levels of maturation of a girl. First, when she's a katana, I mean before she's a bas mitzvah, before she's 12 years of age, she's a katana, she's a minor. She's not obligated to mitzvahs in the Torah. If God forbid she's an avel while she's a katana, so, right, she's not bound by the mitzvah of Shiva, right, the obligations of Shiva. Fine. From 12 to 12 and a half, she's at what stage of her development? It's called a nara. And during that stage of nara, so she's still young, hence the word Naira, but at 12, because she just turned 12, she's obligated to mitzvah. So that means that, God forbid, if she lost her father, she'd have to sit Shiva. And then there's a Bogeris, 12 and a half years of age, she now is she's a developed woman. Okay, I understand our society, right, doesn't exactly operate with that kind of viewpoint, But at 12 and a half years of age, she's a Bogeres. And as a Bogeres, she's eligible to get married. Now, she can get married as a Nara, and to be even more honest, she can get her father can marry her off as a Ketana. But just practically speaking, a Bogeres is really the marriageable age. So therefore, if God forbid, she's a Bogeres and she's sitting Shiva, so the Braisa says she does not have to let herself go, meaning she could still keep up her appearance. Rashi points out the reason why is because she does not want to turn off any suitor, and so therefore she's entitled to keep up her appearance, even though she's an Avelis. Okay, now, what's the Diuk? The Diuk is, we're back to the Gemara, Hanara. No, she's a Bogeres, meaning that's it. She's a woman. In other words, after 12 and a half years of age, she's not this. She's called a Bogeres. She'll be that, you know, when she gets married, she's called a married woman, but that's the last stage of her, stage of her development. So so my love, Birich, and I'm sorry, Hanara Rasha. Now, a Nara, who is not typically of marriageable age, she's allowed to let herself go. She can let her appearance is not that important. She'll keep the laws of Avelus. So my law berechitza. Now that means then that she's not going to bathe. Over my ilema bechamin ena bogeres rasha v'hamer avchista aval asa lo shidetz b'bechamin. So the Gemara says now when we are given this special dispensation for a I'm sorry. When we're saying that the Nara is not going to keep up her appearance, so that means then that she's letting herself go. Now, what does that mean? Is it talking about hot water? So the Gemara says no, right? Ein habogeres rasha. I'm sorry. Ilem bechamin ein habogeres rasha v'hamer of chista aval aser b'tahoshi etzba bechamin. We go back to the statement of Rav Sheshes, where the Gemara assumes is absolutely universal. Meaning, no one argues with the position of Sheshes, and that is that hot water, an oval can't stick his finger into hot water, or in this case, her finger. So it must be talking about cold water. So that means then that the Anara cannot bathe in cold water, and the Bogeris is given a special dispensation where she can bathe in cold water. That's ostensibly what it would mean. That would pose a difficulty to Rava, because Rava says that an Avel is typically allowed to bathe in cold water. So the Gemara says, Lo akichu pirchus. So the Gemara says, no. You worked with an assumption, and your assumption was not right. You thought that the keeping up of appearances had to do with bathing. It had nothing to do with bathing, it had to do with makeup. Meaning that typically speaking, an Avel cannot put on makeup. Again, we're talking really more about the woman. A woman cannot put on makeup, but if she's a Bogeres, eligible age to get married, so she's allowed to put on makeup. That's what the Bryson was referring to, not bathing. So lema misayle dam Rabbi Abba kon mishum Rabbi Yosi kon meiso umeiso banav shor Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanin v'rachatz betzonin kol sheva. So the Gemara goes back to the incident of Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, his sons died, and he bathed in cold water all 7 days. So the Gemara answers like it did previously. The Gemara says, no, that he was sitting successive avelos. So because now he's in his second consecutive week of avelos, so he's afforded dispensations, which is he can cut his hair again with a shinui. He can do laundry, but just with water. And the Gemara spells this out. Amar Rav Chista b'tar v'lo b'misparayim b'mayim v'lo b'netav v'lo b'chol v'lo b'ol. Okay, he can't use detergent in terms of laundering his clothing. Okay, Adkan. That's the first version of Rava. Rava again. The daf today is really could be broken down to the following. Rav Chista is of the opinion that an avel cannot bathe at all. And Tisha B'Av also. Tisha B'Av is Avelus. So an Avel cannot bathe at all, not hot water, not cold water. Rava, version number one, allows the Avel to bathe in cold water. And now we have Rava, version number two. Ika de Amre. Second version. Amar Rava Avel Aser B'Tzonein Kol Shiva. An aval cannot bathe in cold water all 7 days. Maishnam mibasav yayin. Now, let's contrast. Previously, in the first version of Rava, the fact that the naval is allowed to eat meat and drink wine is proof that he can enjoy. He can involve himself in tanugim, which means also that he can bathe in cold water. Now, according to the second version of Rava, where the naval is not allowed to bathe in cold water, what's the difference between bathing and eating meat and drinking wine? If the Maishnam Ibasav Yain Hasam La Pakuche Pach Dehu Da'avid. So the Gemara says no. The eating the meat and the drinking wine is anxiety releasers. It helps take some of the stress away. Right? And so therefore, that's why the Aval can eat meat and drink wine. It will release some of the stress. But but bathing, it's not a stress releaser. And so therefore, bathing is going to be prohibited, hot water and in cold water. Okay, that's the second version of Rava, and obviously the second version of Rava seems to be in total agreement with Rav Chista, where we start off the day. Once again, we go back to the Bogeris. The Bogeris, the Brisa said regarding the Bogeris, she can keep up her appearance, Hanara Risha, which means that the Nara is allowed to let herself go, meaning observe Avelus as it properly should be observed. So the Gemara says, now again, what are we talking about? We're talking about hot water. So, and that would seem to indicate that the Bogeris is allowed to bathe in hot water. An Aval cannot put even the finger into hot water. So it must be talking about Sonein. So and that would indicate that you can't bathe in Sonein. And this would now be a proof to our second version of Rava, because our second version of Rava says, correct, an Aval can't bathe in cold water. Lo akichol pirchus. The Gemara says, no, not necessarily. It could be that we're talking about kichol and pirchus, we're talking about makeup, application of makeup. Amar Rav Chista. So good. So where are we ending off today's daf with? Again, Rav Chista's position, which is Rava's second version position, which is that bathing is prohibited for the Avel. Bathing is prohibited on Tisha B'Av, both in hot water and in cold water. And even though there is a heter that's given to the Bogeris, but that heter is only for the application of makeup. A Bogeris is allowed to put on makeup, but bathing is going to be prohibited, both in hot water and in cold water. Am Rav Chista. Rav Chista says, Zos Omeres. This would indicate, Avel Aser B'Tachboses Kol Shiva, that a mourner cannot do laundry all 7 days. How did he arrive at this conclusion? So Rashi comments, and Rashi says, look at the Rashi inside Zos Omeres. Midem okminan la bekichul pirchus hu adin letachboses. Well, look, the Gemara's conclusion is that a woman can, unless she's a bogeris of marriageable age, she can't put on makeup. Meaning that you can't keep up your appearance during avelos. So wearing freshly laundered clothing is the keeping up of appearance. So just like a woman can't put on makeup, so Rashi says, this is what Rav Chista concluded, so too, she can also not, she cannot put on, a Aval can't also do laundry as well. V'hilchasa, and now the Gemara concludes, Aval also l'chotz kol gufo ben becham ben mitzonein, kol shiva, and Aval cannot bathe in hot water nor in cold water all 7 days of Avelus. Washing parts of your body, meaning your hands, your feet, your face, hot water would be prohibited, cold water would be permissible. I cannot apply any oils on. But if the stench is rough, so then you could put on like I guess what we would call like something like a deodorant. So that's the Gemara's conclusion. That's the halachic conclusion of today. Okay, so let's just quickly summarize, and we'll conclude. Okay, the first part of today's daf, we started with the Mishnah, and the Mishnah talked about the successive fast of Eitan and Sibor. After the first three, again, Yechidim, that's the private fast done by the rabbis. But after that, in terms of Eitan and Sibor, in terms of communal fast, the Mishnah daf, you talked about the first three, where you're allowed to work, and then the next Mishnah, which is today's daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, talked about the next three, and then the next seven, making a total of 13 communal fast days that are fasted if and when the rain does not come down. The second three, what does it add on? What layers does it add on? You can't do work, and you can't involve yourself in Tanuk. That led the Gemara to discuss today a contrast between the prohibition of Tanuk on a fast day, on a communal fast day, versus the prohibition of bathing for an Avel. And the distinction is, and this is Gemara's conclusion, and this is Rav Chisda's position, and this is Rava's second version position, is that for an Avel, you can bathe not in hot water, not in cold water. You can wash your hands, feet, and face, but only in cold water for an Avel. Tanit Sibur, but a public fast day. According to Rav Chisda, you are allowed to bathe in cold water, but you're not allowed to bathe in hot water.